That was Acts in chapter 2, first 8 verses. Let's read with the help of our Lord. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confused, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? We'll stop at this question, and hopefully the Lord will give us some answers to this question. Let us now stand up and unite our hearts and minds in a prayer to the Lord in thanksgiving. Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, we believe that Thy name is worshipped and praised in the heavenly heights. We believe, O Lord God Almighty, that Thy word is the truth, and Thy name was praised and worshipped and adored in diverse places on this earth. The lonely hearts shared Thy fellowship, and the united hearts in Thy Spirit enjoyed Thy presence. And we see, O Heavenly Father, that Thou art willing, from the glory and bliss of Thy heavenly kingdom, to incline Thy holy hearing to every prayer of Thy children. O Lord God Almighty, it seemed to be evident that all the prayers, praises, and thanksgivings that Thy people offered unto Thee have originated from the throne of grace and goodness, from the Spirit of Christ. So we pray, O Heavenly Father, that Thou give us an open heart and mind today, that we may receive Thy Spirit's presence, Thy Spirit's message, that the Spirit of Thine, O Lord, may manifest in our hearts and upon our minds the beauty of Thy holiness, the brightness of Thy light that dispels the darkness of the world. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou make us willing to follow in the steps of Thy guidance, as Thou hast guided Thy disciples before the day of Pentecost, that we may be willing, O Lord, obedient, faithful to Thy holy word, willing to follow Thy guidance. that we also may experience that outpouring of Thy Holy Spirit, O Lord, in power, in clarity. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou deliver us from the confusion of Babylon. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that we may not touch the unclean things, and that nothing that belonged to Babylon would be adopted by us, that we never take any of the accursed things that will end up in that everlasting fire. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that Thou give us such an obedience, faithfulness, and zeal for Thy holy name to enable us, O Lord God Almighty, to walk in Christ, to follow the guidance of Thy Spirit, even in the den of lions, even in the fiery furnace, even in the long captivity and imprisonment, even under the falling rocks of hatred, even in our daily walk when nothing seemed to be going on, when nothing special seemed to happen. Oh, grant us, Lord God Almighty, every day, every hour, to walk with Christ. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, keep us from evil. Thou deliver us from doubts and fears, ignorances, superstitions. Deliver us, O Heavenly Father, from the worldly tongues of confusion. And give us, O Lord, the harmony of the gospel language. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, we pray that Thou be merciful to us and make us merciful. That Thou, O Heavenly Father, purify our inner man and bless us with the purity of heart. Purity of heart, soundness of mind, clarity of understanding, liberty of soul in Christ Jesus, Thy beloved Son. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Thou make us Thy faithful witnesses and proclaim Thy gospel and multiply Thy word and exalt the name of Christ. And let there be light, O Heavenly Father, and let the works of darkness be destroyed, and the enemy defeated, and Thy holy name glorified. Gracious Lord Almighty God, give us the eyes of faith and the clear spiritual visions and the wide spiritual horizons. Help us to see, O Lord God Almighty, that from eternity and into endless eternity, Thou art God to whom belong worship and praise, honor and glory, power and government forever and ever. Amen. I was reading this passage last night and I did not know how to start sharing. What should be first to say about that? I still don't know. It seemed that not only on this passage but on just about any passage in the New Testament, the whole scripture is hanging. And everything is so linked together that perhaps as the apostle is writing in the epistle to the Romans, is that chapter 7 that ends up with that lamentable tone? It says, yes, that's 7:24 in Romans. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Almost in a similar tone and manner, I could say, how can I ever share with you the fullness of the meaning of this passage? So I just shared with you my inability to do that, and my confidence that the Lord is able to get across to each heart and mind that is open to His message and to His will, exactly what He wants us to understand. So I think that perhaps the first step in understanding more, I have to accept the fact that I cannot understand all of it, and since I'm not able to share as much as I understand, so the sharing will be even less than the limited understanding and so on. But then again, when we look at a grain of mustard seed, as the Lord used the example, the story that the Lord used, and He said the husbandman would drop one seed into the ground, and that one seed would germinate, grow, and become a tree. And how many seeds are on that tree? And you take just one seed of that tree and you plant it again, and again the same thing happens if the Lord will bless and give life to that seed. And that is my prayer and my desire, that the Lord will bless His word today and make our hearts and minds open to His word. There is no shortage with the Lord. It's only the limits. Not only the limits that we have by creation, because that was ruined in the beginning. We remember that. Today's human beings are not exactly what the first people were. And there is quite a difference that has been developed in the process of time. But the most difficult limits or difficulties, the greatest difficulties in understanding the Bible, is not our inability to understand the Word of God, but our ability to misunderstand it, to take it in another way. So, not to use much more time about those general terms, I would like us to discard today's opinion about the speaking in tongues or the gift of the Holy Spirit and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. As much as I looked into that, nowhere in the scripture, and especially nowhere in the New Testament, I didn't find any indication or any sign or proof, or not even a suggestion, that any of the Christians ever spake in a language that he did not understand. There is no such a thing in the Bible as far as I am able to see. And that includes all the unknown tongues, unknown languages, and so on. They are unknown to some people and known to the other people, but never unknown to someone who would talk and know not what he talks. the passage or the verse in the Epistle to the Corinthians that says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth and my understanding is fruitless. That does not mean I have no understanding of the words that I say in my prayer, but it means if I pray in a foreign language and there are the people that don't understand that language, all the understanding that I receive from the Lord is fruitless. They cannot benefit from it. So, I think we can just get rid of, if we ever held that kind of an opinion, let me be just plain and open, the gibberish that some people called foreign languages and tongues and so on is their own makeup or something worse than that, and has nothing to do with the revelation and the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, I would like us to trace back the appearance of the languages. How did that ever happen that the people have different languages? Where did that start? Well, I thought that it started somewhere in Genesis when the people were building that tower that was called Babylon or confusion. And perhaps that's the first evidence in this earth visible to the mankind, or the first record that we have in the scripture. But then as I was reading through that last night, I found that Babylon existed way before the people started building Babylon. That the founder of Babylon is not a human being. That the city of Babylon appeared as a competition and opposition to the city of Jerusalem, that is, the heavenly Jerusalem. I read about that in Isaiah chapter 14. And I think that most of you remember that. As soon as you look at it, you'll probably recognize that passage starting with the verse number 12. Isaiah 14:12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I wonder if Lucifer considered this some kind of a modesty, that he didn't want to be greater than the Most High, just like him. Could be. I don't know. It's very difficult. Even though he managed to engrave so much of his nature into human nature, and we have to struggle and battle against that nature all of our pilgrim's time, still, it's very difficult for me to understand how could anyone, and especially Lucifer, think or contemplate, plan something like this. And then I read some verses preceding, and right now I don't see the word. Let me see. Oh, it's in the verse number 4. That thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor seized the golden city seized? The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked, and so on. So the the founder of Babylon, or in other words, confusion, is Satan himself. That's where the confusion of languages really started. The Lord just allowed that to be manifested because it was already existing. And it was in hiding. What do I mean? Well, Lucifer did not come to the open before the heavenly angels with his devices right away. He had something in disguise, just as he had something wrapped in partial truth when he approached Eve in the Garden of Eden. He said, it's not exactly sure that you will die. No, actually God knows that you will benefit from violating his laws and his commandments, and you will really achieve something amazing, something that you never knew before. And when Eve looked at the fruit of the tree with that aspect, that means rejecting the truth of God and accepting the deception of Satan, the fruit appeared to be very attractive. Very attractive. Well, Satan is using that on and on. He is still using that, and will be probably using his devices and his tools to the end of his activity. The activity of his will. He will have some activity eternally, but that's going to be against his will. I mean, the bottomless pit and the chain and all that he is going to get in the end as a trophy for all his successes. He's not going to like it. As a matter of fact, I don't think I should take much time to talk about him. He's not worthy taking time for him, but he's suffering so much, and he's void of ability to enjoy. He has no joy, has no happiness, he had no peace, and even his rejoicing is so bitter, so ugly, that it cannot be called pleasure. In the chapter 11 of Genesis, we read that the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, let us build up a city and a tower whose top, here we have the English version, will reach or may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name. Well, what happened to their name? Before the flood, they were the people of God. At least that was the name. And among all the people that had that name, there were eight of them that seemed to be really, truly the people of God. I don't know how many people lived before the flood. Perhaps millions. I don't know. But in any case, among all that number of the people that had the name God's people, there were eight of them that lived as the people of God. Perhaps there were some other ones that died just before the great flood, but at the moment of the flood, there were eight people that were really God's people, and there were many, many, many that were called God's people. Well, in any case, the flood was over, everything is past, the new life started, And the people multiplied, they were blessed by the Lord, they offered sacrifices to the Lord, and they trusted in the Lord their God, at least first 2-3 years. And then later on again, the same thing happened. There is a confusion. Babylon started building in their imagination. Why was that so? How did they come to the idea that they need a name? What happened to their name? I can't imagine that situation, that one morning I get up and I say, oh my, I don't have a name. I have to make a name for me. We don't forget our names, do we? And somehow they came to the idea that they don't have a name. Why? Well, names last longer than the substance. They first lost the presence of the Lord in their hearts, in their minds, in their life. And then they said, let us make ourselves a name. How did the first people get naked? They were not naked. They were dressed in innocency, in the glory of God's creation. At the moment they violated the commandment of God, they realized, oh man, we are naked. And then what did they do? They didn't run to the Lord and say, we need something to cover us. But they say, let us make something. So they use the fig leaves. My, that scratches. Just try it. Put a fig leaf on your skin and you'll see how uncomfortable that is. And besides, I think that by the evening time, the leaves curled up and withered, and it was quite an airy dress or garment that they had. But in any case, here we see that the people that had a name did not confess to themselves, did not face the fact, hey, we don't have a name anymore. What happened to our name? No. They're all right. They just need to get active and make a name for themselves. Now, the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men were in building. I'm often amazed how the Word of God is using our language to tell us what is going on or to get our attention focused on a certain point. The Lord said, behold, the people won. And they have one language. And this they begin to do. What is the Lord saying here in a way? I gave them a language. They're still using that language. But in their mind, in their action, is something else. They're not using that language to be what I made them to be, what I blessed them to be. They are taking my gifts and they are now going to worship the idol of their pride. And that is confusion. Where did that come from? From the founder of Babylon. He used to be named Lucifer, but somewhere along the way, he lost that name, and then he earned a name that means Satan, destroyer, an enemy, the founder of lies, the founder of confusions. All these, stones of his building that are actually brimstones burning him inwardly and all over. And so what the Lord did here, he took away the gift that he gave to the people in the beginning. He just took it away. Long enough they abused it. Long enough they misused it. Long enough they used the language that was given to them to share the truth for making lies. And then God took the language back. What was left? Well, he could have left them deaf, but it was not in his intention to judge them more severely, just to give them some reason to think everything all over and to seek what they have lost. And so, we read here that their languages were different. Just one day, one is talking one language and another language. Apparently, the Lord was merciful in doing this, and apparently every family was speaking the same language. I cannot prove that to you, but it seemed to me that when they dispersed all over the earth, they went by families. It didn't happen that the husband of one family was speaking old German, and the wife of that same family started speaking Hindu, and so they had to go in different directions. Rather, they the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Now we read here that the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. So that gives me a reason to think that what they said actually was not the fact, the truth. They did not want to the tip of their tower to touch heaven. They actually were running away from heaven as far as they could. They lied, you know, just like today. Or perhaps they imagined their own heaven. And these people nowadays, our generation, they also have their own kind of heaven. And they deny the existence of hell, probably because they already feel some hell within themselves. And here we read that's how the languages started. And because of the different languages, there were many wars, many battles, many conflicts, a lot of bloodshed, and the people kind of have often better understanding when they have the same language. And again, many times, the people of the same language, even the people of the same family, are one against the other. And the Lord Himself, Jesus Christ, our Savior, said that from now on, in one family will be three against two and two against three. And so it seems that doesn't matter what the number is, those that are against are always against. So there will be a lot of disagreements, a lot of battling, fighting in this world. And He clearly explained to His disciples what will be or should be the weapon and the ammunition of our fighting, and what is going to be the armor of the enemies. And the Lord also told Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane not to use the methods of battling that belong to the world. So, since that time we have the languages. The languages came into existence as a manifestation of human disharmony, disobedience to the Lord, human leaving the precepts and the teaching, the commandments of God, and following the deception of Satan. Well, when we go back to the Acts, we find here that the Lord gave the ability to the disciples to speak in the languages that they did not learn. Now, I would not diminish or devalue the significance of learning the languages today, knowing different languages, being able to communicate in different languages, even if we have to learn or to use opportunities for learning, I think that can be used very well in the ministry, in ministering to one another and in reaching out to the world and serving the Lord in general and in some cases very, very particularly. So we see that the disciples were given that gift by the Spirit of the Lord. How did that happen to them? Did that just happen? Or did they know? Well, the Lord told them that they will be His witnesses starting from Jerusalem, and apparently they did understand that very well, because they started not only in Jerusalem but in their families. They were in prayers together with their wives and their children. All the families were together in prayer and in supplication, in meditation and so on, waiting for the promise of the Lord. The power from on high. And so they prayed that the Lord would fulfill that promise. Did they know that the promise is going to be manifested in such a way that they will know and use the languages they never learned? I don't know. They knew that the Lord said that they will be His witnesses to the end of the world. So when this happened, we read here that they were all with one accord in one place. So there was some spiritual harmony, the love of Christ binding them together. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It doesn't say exactly that there was a wind, just the sound of it. And that sound filled all the house where they were sitting, and then appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and one set upon each of them. How long were these tongues sitting there? Were the apostles preaching with these tongues still sitting on their heads, or what happened? It doesn't say. Perhaps it was just a short vision, something that happened for a short time, but the manifestation of the Lord's presence, or the outpouring of the power of His Spirit, continued. But then we read later on that as Peter and John were before the Hebrew leaders, the local government questioned and forbidden to proclaim the gospel, they were filled with the Spirit of the Lord again. At this time there were no cloven tongues. There was not the sound of the mighty rushing wind, but there was the clear guidance what to say and what to do. And something more. The moment the enemy tried to disturb the peace in their hearts, the peace was renewed more abundantly. So the Spirit of the Lord, or the power of the Spirit of the Lord, was manifested in different ways. When Peter was preaching in Caesarea, and when he told them about the forgiveness of sins through the merit of Christ the Lord, our Savior, at that time the Holy Spirit was outpoured upon the listeners. We don't hear anything about the cloven tongues. We don't find anything about the sound of a rushing mighty wind. But they were speaking foreign languages the great things of the Lord. Well, so many people today would like to have this. Wouldn't that be wonderful? All of a sudden we start talking with foreign languages. I don't know who would come to listen. No. Perhaps someone would. But the Lord prepared these languages, the gift of speaking in foreign languages, for the time and place that He intended it to be used. There were at that time the people that needed the gospel in their languages. They came to Jerusalem, they believed the Holy Scripture to some extent, and within the limits of their understanding, they were willing and eager to hear more and to know what's going on, what the Lord has for them, but they could not understand the language of their fathers, their ancestors, the Hebrew language. And so, the gospel was proclaimed in other languages. How did that come about? The apostles and the disciples were in harmony with the Lord. And that spiritual harmony prevailed over the initial confusion of different languages and overpowered the gracelessness of humanity by the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the gospel was proclaimed. Oh, I see that the time is running out. I wanted to share with you something more, since I mentioned that the confusion of languages originated in the mind, perhaps. Should I say that he has a mind or whatever he has? It originated in the deception of the founder of confusion, Satan. The destroyer of human blessedness, or the one that caused the humanity to lose so many precious gifts that the Creator and the Savior has bestowed upon them from the beginning. So, I think it's fair to say that this harmony, this power of the Holy Ghost in His disciples was received after they were in harmony with the Lord, after they were in harmony with His Word, after they understood that the same one, the Creator, God Almighty, is also the Savior of the mankind, and that obeying the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God is the only way to obey the Heavenly Father. So, He opened their minds, they understood the Scripture, they received peace and joy, and then they received the presence of the Holy Spirit when He breathed upon them. After that, they continued in prayers. They were witnesses of His resurrection. Before that, they were witnesses of His ascending up into glory after that. And then, once they saw the Lord Jesus Christ in His glory, in His power, they had the patience, the endurance, the zeal, the fervor to continue in prayers and supplications until they received the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And that power gave them such a prevailing, amazing, heavenly harmony and unity and fellowship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that prevailed against human confusion, and even the weaknesses of humanity were used to manifest the glory of the Almighty God. Where is that leading to? To that celestial city, the heavenly Jerusalem, where the perfect unity of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost will be extended completely and fulfilled in all the redeemed ones, and there will be one flock, one shepherd, one congregation, and one high priest. There won't be any temples. Well, let me just quickly read a few verses from Revelation 21:21 and on. Revelation 21:21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city, pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Everything reflects the beauty of His holiness, purity, glory. And I saw no temple therein. He's referring, I believe, to the temples that the people made, even the godly temples, the proper temples, still were made by the hands of men. Why there was no temple? For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And there they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. It was long ago, I was still a child, when I saw a small river that had the riverbed of pure, clean gravel. And the water was so clear that you could see through the depth of the river. It was so beautiful. Just amazingly beautiful to see something like that. I was standing there for a long time and just watching that. But that's not even the shadow of the beauty that we read about here. In the midst of the street of that city, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. One tree on both sides and all along. And this tree bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. But there was no night. What kind of months we are reading about here? The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. Remember what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, that if anyone receives his word, him shall the Father honor, and we will come and abide in him. We will dwell in him. I think another place tells us that if the Master will come in the second and third watch and find his servants on guard and ready to answer his call, that he himself will serve them. And that's another expression of that godly harmony, the heavenly love and zeal for the Lord. Here we read that His servants will serve Him, and there He told us that He is going to serve us, and He is serving us. And so is the relationship between the Father and the Son. The Father gave all the power to the Son, and the Son gave all the honor to the Father, and there is giving and giving and giving again. And we never find the Father saying, "Son, I need more." Or the Son saying, "Father did not give me enough," like the older son in the story of the prodigal son. You know? No, it's all giving and all appreciation, all gratitude, all joy. That's heaven. Quite the opposite of hell. I will do this. I will have this for me. I will do this against the will of God and so on. That's hell. That's Babylon. This is the heavenly Jerusalem. There shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Here we find that His servants will serve Him, and in this verse, that they shall reign forever and ever. That's the servitude. It's the reign. It's the same. And it's good for us to start learning that here and now. That serving the Lord Jesus Christ is the same thing as reigning with Him, even in this life. And He said unto me, "These sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent His angels to show unto His servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly." Blessed is he that keepeth the saying of the prophecy of this book. So, I would like to take a few more minutes to share a few things in the Serbian language, even though that's not the language of the choice, but of availability. It would be probably better if I could share in some other language. But, yes, thank you. Yeah, I should switch the tapes. Just one moment.